midst of that chariot is paved with the love of God. I want to preach today, if God will help me, on red hot love. Hey, His love for us is not old, cold, or stale. It is not even a flickering flame. His love for us today is red hot. Hey, it was red hot before the foundation of the world when He came to die. It was red hot, my friend, when He gave the law in the Old Testament. It was red hot when Jesus came into the world. It was red hot when He died on the cross. It was red hot when He came out of the grave. It is red hot during the church age while we're living. And it will be red hot when He comes back to call us out of this sin-cursed world into the very presence of Almighty God. His love will never change. It'll never grow cold. It'll never be hot today and cold tomorrow. It'll always remain the same. I am the Lord. I change not. And therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That means God loves us when we're in trouble. God loves us when we're out of trouble. God loves us when we're bad. And God loves us when we're good. God loves us. Our redemption is paid with love. I'm talking about a red hot love in the midst of our redemption. Redemption flows out from the love of God. Hey, hey, hey. And that redemption and that love should touch the heart of every born again child of God. Friend, if God's love has not touched your heart today, you may have a problem that is 6 inches below your collarbone. Now, I'm going to try to preach. I'll just have to kind of blow her out and get into it, but I'm going to try to preach. Now, you stay with me. In these verses, these two verses before us, 9 and 10, this morning we have a description of Solomon's chariot. He describes that chariot in detail. And may I say that his chariot is designed to carry his bride from her father's house to his palace. Brother, he made all the preparations. He didn't leave any loose ends. I want to say that the gospel, my friend, has no loose ends. It has been planned in the mind of God. God has equipped it in a proper way. There's no flaws in it, no mistakes in it. Man had nothing to do with it. It was contrived in the mind of God. And the gospel chariot, which is the covenant of God's grace, my friend, is secure enough and stable enough to carry every old sinner out of the pit of sin all the way to the palace, my friend, and to present us faultless before the very throne of God's divine and eternal grace. Amen to God. Its beauty and construction was beyond comparison. Amen to God. Solomon was the richest, the wisest, the wealthiest man, king, in all the world. And there is not, or there was not, a chariot in his day that could compare with the chariot that Solomon rode in. Its beauty was beyond comparison. Some folks may drive a Lincoln Town Car, but honey, I'm telling you that Solomon was riding around in a Rolls Royce. And it was decked out to the hilts. It was protected on all sides. And guess who's riding? Right slap dab in the front seat with the driver. None other than his little bride, you and I. And we're making a trip, my friend, from the house of sin, from the house of Lodibar, from the house of Mephibosheth, all the way to the palace where we'll sit down at the king's table and dine there with the king for eternity. I know that's right. Its beauty is beyond comparison. Its glory was magnificent. Never another one like it. Solomon here represents Christ, and his chariot typifies his way of redemption. That is to say, the means by which you and I, as God's children, are transported from a life of sin to our eternal inheritance. Now, I want to look briefly this morning at the principal components of that chariot. That is to say, what it was made out of in the text that He gives us. He said, first of all, it was made out of the wood of Lebanon. Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Hey, the wood of Lebanon, probably cedar wood, was valued for its durability. I want to say to you, my friend, that God's covenant is sure. There's not one jot, there is not one tittle that will ever pass from God's law until every bit of it be fulfilled. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the King James 1611 Bible and the promises that are written there, my friend, is dependable. They're sure. You can stand upon them, rest upon them, build your life upon them. They'll never fail you. They are amen and amen and yea and yea, and everything that God wrote in that book of His, my friend, He put there for our clarinet, our admonition, and for our comfort. And if you've got an idea that the Word of God will fail you in your life, under any circumstance in your life, you are dumber this morning than a box of rocks. That Bible ain't going to fail. No, sir. I'm telling you, you're about as dead as a hammer this morning. And I'm going to preach if it makes the devil mad. And I ain't going to get in a hurry. I hope it does make him mad. He's an egg-sucking, slew-foot egg-sucker. Amen. He's a lying devil. And he's going to wind up someday in hell. Right along with all those he has deceived and led astray, he'll wind up in a lake of fire, my friend. While you and I are dancing around the throne, the devil's going to be in a lake of fire, a squirming for an eternity. Somebody said, preacher, do you hate him? Absolutely. Amen. Hate the devil. I hate sin. Amen. I hate ungodliness and unrighteousness. I hate it all. I love God, love the church. I love sinners, I love people, but I hate sin and the devil. That's right, and I'm going to tell you something. That cedar wood, my friend, and its durability will last forever. You don't have to worry about that Bible failing you. You don't have to worry about grace failing you. You don't have to worry about the gospel failing you. Somebody said, what if he drops me along the way? I'm on the inside. And I'm guarded by 360 valiant men that all have swords on their side and they're ready to do battle for me. Oh no, sir, there's no enemy going to get to me in there. I want to say too that cedar wood has a sweet odor. You ever smell it? Don't smell good? Huh? That's right. Our covenant of grace, the gospel, the Word of God, our Christ, is not only lasting, but son, it is delightful. Hallelujah to God. Your problem is this morning, my friend, that you did not get along with Him and inhale right deeply, amen, and get a good swift sniff of the fragrance of the chariot that you're riding in. Son, I'm telling you, I love the gospel. It's an odor of sweet smell. Oh, it's blessed and wonderful. Oh, it's delightful. Hallelujah, there may be storms on the outside, but I'm riding on the inside. I'm making a delightful trip. He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He wrote the things in the Bible that we might have joy, that His joy may be fulfilled in us and that we may have joy for all eternity. That trip is not a drudgery. Bless God, it's a delight. Hallelujah to God. I'm saved by the grace of God. Heaven melt with the hammer down and there's nothing the devil can do about it. Now you can sit out there in the mully grub if you want to. But son, I got over them a long time ago. I ain't going to sit there dead. Our chariot is both lasting and delightful. What a wonderful odor. And then if you'll notice, It had a purple covering over it. A purple canopy over the top of us, which represents the blood of His propitiation. And by the way, it covers us from the wrath of God. I'm going to tell you something you may not know. The blood was not applied to you, my friend, to cover up your sins. Oh no! The blood was applied as a canopy to protect you from the wrath of God. As a sinner, you ought to be in hell this morning with your neck broke. But thank God, when God looked upon our chariot, my friend, He sees a canopy, a crimson canopy of blood that protects us from the very wrath of Almighty God. And if it wasn't for the blood, you would be in hell right now. Are you listening? I hope so. I took an excerpt from Spurgeon's book on this, on his message. And he said, "Look up, my soul. Go on, look up. What do you see sitting in the chariot in the midst, where it's paved with love? Amen. Look up out of the very center of the love of God. Amen. And what do you find? A canopy of purple. Amen. The crimson blood. Look up," he said, "my soul. Look up," he said, "and see what interposes between thy God and thee. He must smite thee, for thou art a sinner." Now I'm here to tell you that God's wrath will smite every sinner that does not come to Christ. Oh yes, for forgiveness of sin, make his way into the chariot where he is protected from God's wrath by a crimson canopy of blood. Amen. Well, that's right. "He must smite thee," said, "for thou art a sinner, but thou art covered and sheltered and living happily." My God, that couldn't be said in 19 in the year 2000. I don't see too many people living happily. I've never seen so many long faces in all my stinking life. Now I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm about tired of it. My God, some of you ain't got a stinking thing to be down in the mouth of. God's blessed you and helped you. You don't have a stinking thing to be down in the mouth about. You ought to be a swinging from these ceiling fans in here this morning. Somebody said, "You don't understand the valley that I'm in." What about the promises of God? That He'll fill every valley. It's like I said in the song, "Trust and Obey." Son, our problem's not altogether obeying. The problem is we're not trusting God and the promises of that King James 1611 Bible in front of me. We're not leaning upon our beloved. We're leaning on the mullet grubs. Thank you, Jerome. That's right, and everybody in here ought to be following suit. Hey, you ladies that are pregnant, you act like a woman never had a baby before. Don't you understand? I can't smile. I'm pregnant. My God, I thought being pregnant ought to make you happy. God has looked upon your womb. He has closed Angie's womb. And if He's opened your womb and given you a man child, you ought to be rejoicing over it instead of sitting down like your dad. Bless your heart. That's right, ain't it? Amen or old me. It don't make much difference to me which one. Hallelujah to God. He said we're sheltered and riding happily along. If you think that little Shulamite bride of his was discouraged and mullygrubbing and long-faced taking the journey along in Solomon's chariot, you are a nut. She is black but comely. In other words, what she's saying is, "I don't even know why Solomon looked upon me." But she said, "Don't look upon me, Solomon, because I'm black. Because my mother, my sister treated me wrongfully. They put me out in a vineyard of hard. They made a hard taskmaster out of me. I'm here to tell you, your mother, you better hear what I'm saying. Your mother has made a hard taskmaster out of you. Somebody said, who is my mother? If you ain't got enough sense to go back and read the book of Genesis and find out who your mama is, honey, you better lay your Bible aside. Eve is the mother of all living. Now I'm here to tell you it was Eve that was deceived, my friend, into sin. And your mother has looked upon you, and she is a hard taskmaster this morning. But I'm telling you, I'm glad that old Solomon Chad, my friend, rolled up, hallelujah, alongside of me, bless your heart, and brought me out of that sin. You'll be happy in that chariot. Amen. Your mother may have treated you bad, but Jesus treated you right. Amen. What can you lay to His charge? Right. Where's He ever wronged you? What's He ever done against you that was wrong? What's He ever done for you that was wrong? He can't do any wrong. Amen. Everything He has done is right. Amen. I said everything He's done is right. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God, I might have lost my spectacles. Give them for me, Brother Jerry. I'm glad you're here this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. You're helping me, son. Hallelujah. Not only was it made out of the wood of Lebanon, not only was its canopy of purple, but it had pillars of silver. Amen. And those pillars upheld the canopy of purple. Right. Now, you hear me well. Hey, That silver always represents redemption. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something else it represents. Have you ever read in the book of Psalm chapter 12 where it said a silver purified 7 times in a furnace of fire? Amen. I'm going to tell you what else that silver means, buddy. It represents purity. Amen. Now, hey, amen, Reverend Hall. Now, I'm going to tell you what is holding up the blood is the divine purity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb without spot and without blemish. His holiness, His purity upholds the blood that has established the covenant of grace that's made a safe passage and an enjoyable trip to the throne of God. Jerry, I wished I had some energy. Whew. Lord help us. He is. He'll have to. Whew. That's the second lap for Jerome, all you folks out in radio land. Huh? I want to say to you, my friend, His gospel is holy. He is holy. There are no imperfections in Him. There are no imperfections in the book. There's no imperfections in the blood. There's no imperfections in the blessed hope. Somebody said, what if we can lose it? My God, how can we lose it, my friend? It wasn't ours to lose. He said, oh! He said, I've loved thee. Hallelujah to God with an everlasting love. When I read my Bible, everlasting meant everlasting. Does He love you today or does He not love you today? Hallelujah. Woo! Folks out there in radio land, Jerome is still running. I'm glad. Whew. Old Brother Hall's a little weak. I didn't think he had it in him, folks. He's doing good. He might be called what you call running well this morning. Brother Brown called me the other night and said, you preach at so-and-so. Did you preach at Brother Raines? I said, yes, sir. And he said, did you run well? I said, I thought I'd run well. Woo! Now, Jerome's running well this morning. I don't think I'm running too bad myself. Yeah. Folks, I saw a 77-year-old man. 77! That just buried his wife not long ago. Of I don't know how many years. His companion. He rides up and down the highways and everywhere he used to go, she is there. And now there's a vacant seat where he sat. And I saw that old 77-year-old man start quoting the book of the Revelation, and he run all the way across that tabernacle down to Brother Allen, up and down the aisles, a-quoting the Word of God and a-preaching his heart out and a-rejoicing in God. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, if he lost the dearest thing on this earth to him outside of Christ and still had joy unspeakable and full of glory, would you tell me what is your problem today? What is wrong with you today? I'm going to tell you the difference. He's learned to trust God. He's learned to lean upon His beloved. He knows what it means to be in the chair of God. My friend, with silver pillars holding up a canopy of crimson blood. He knows. He's been there, done that, and got a t-shirt. That's right, ain't it? Then it said the bottom of it was gold. Woo! The bottom. This is to indicate what the foundation, or this is to indicate that the foundation of salvation is imperishable and unchangeably precious.
Amen.
It's not going to perish.
Amen.
Sudden gold don't rot.
Amen.
At the very bottom of our covenant of grace is gold.
Amen.
Laying right on the bottom, son, it ain't going to perish.
Yes.
By the way, look here. Bless God, you can set on that foundation of gold.
Yes.
It won't fall through. Get up and jump up and down on it. It's not going to fall through. Walk up and down in it and enjoy the gold under your feet. It's not going anywhere. And 10 billion years from now, it still will have no rust. It'll be just as pure and imperishable as it is today. I know that's right. Hallelujah. Y'all act like I'm a fool. Some of you looking like you're a little strange.
Amen.
If you ever get what I got, you'll act strange too.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm getting to the message now. He said it's paved with love.
Amen.
Paved with love. May I interject right here and say that is five elements. Wood, pillars of silver, canopy of blood, gold bottom, paved with love. And son, when I went to school, that's five. And I went to Bible college, and five's a number of grace. Yes, sir. And I want to say it's all of grace. All of grace is my story all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace He has extended when on Him my heart depended.
Woo!
And He'll give new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet uncovered. Grace not yet discovered. Grace, you ain't found all of it yet. Grace from His bountiful store. Grace to love, face forever. Grace to love and pray for sinners. And He'll give new grace when it's my time to die.
Woo!
Son, all of grace in this covenant. Chariot covenant of God. Grace from start to finish, buddy. I'm not ashamed of grace. I'm not ashamed to preach grace. For it's by grace that you're saved. It's not a works. It's not a baptism. It's not in the sacraments. No, it's not in the church. It's in grace that we're saved. Undeserving grace.
Amen.
Bountiful grace. All of grace. Lots of grace. More grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Vintage. Grace. It got you inside. Amen. His grace, Sharon. His grace that told you to turn on that radio that day and pull up in front of this little old building out here. That's right. You ought to be shouting over that this morning. His grace that had Robert sitting on the back pew. Yeah, amen to God. That's right. It was grace that had you in that Sunday school room. Grace that had you in that pew. Oh, Pat, it was grace that had you in here on a morning when all hell was a breaking loose, and grace can overpower all the hells of hell, my friend. Yes, sir, I'm talking about He can save in the midst of trouble and turmoil when all hells are breaking loose. His grace is still sufficient. Bless your heart. His grace got you off the bar stool, Brother Andy. I thought that brings something out of them. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. He's a running, boys. There goes Jerome. They're running now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Mark, it's grace that came to you over yonder on that bridge. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, Miss Kim, it's grace to come to you in that bedroom up there at your mama's house. Then it was grace that came to you in the bedroom at 35 Timmons Lane. Where's Jerome at? I got to head him off at the pass over here. Jerome, it was grace that come 365 feet down where you was. I'm telling you, Father, oh yes, we're in a chant that is all grace, all grace, all grace. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And get this. It's in the midst. He said, thereof, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. In the midst. Wonder what they saw from the outside. That's what's wrong with a lot of people.
Amen.
They stand out there looking at the outside saying, what's wrong with Hall? Ain't he a nut? Jumping, shouting, and carrying. Hey, he is an absolute fool. What in the world is he jumping and carrying on about? I'm going to tell you something, friend. If the Lord just lets you kind of pull up and peep over a little bit and look on the inside,
Amen.
You ain't going to see the love till you get on the inside. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't even going to see the real love of God while He's drawing you. You ain't even going to see the real love of God while He's leading you to repentance.
Amen.
No, you're not going to see the real love of God while He's convicting you. You're not going to see the real love while He's burdening you and hanging you out over hell. I'm going to tell you what you're going to see at that time. You're going to see your sin.
Amen.
Oh, you'll see the awfulness of your heart. Well, yeah, you'll see your filth and your nasty. I'm going to tell you something else. You'll see your guilt. You'll see your kind of. You'll say, Brother Hall, that's law. No man's ever been saved without the law. My friend, letting him know he's a sinner. That he's transgressed the law of God. You ain't going to see that love out there. Son, you will shake and tremble and quiver and carry on and moan and groan and can't sleep at night and wonder how you're going to get right with God and know you got. And you'll try everything you can try to get right with God in one day. Son, you'll just throw up the white flag of surrender.
Amen.
I like it, praise God. I'm about to get drunker than a monkey as a scoot on a coot. Hallelujah to God. Brother Jerry, throw up that white flag of surrender and say, Lord, I just can't do it. I'm going to hell. And about that time, son, oh yes, sir, I'm here to tell you that the marvelous grace of God, all you've ever seen so far is the abyss, the pit, and the horribleness of your sin. But I'm telling you, throw up that white flag of surrender, son. I'm going to tell you what you'll see. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Woo! Oh, yes. And it's at the cross He'll introduce you to His wonderful love. I'm glad, thank God, I'm in a chariot. That in the midst of it, my friend, she's paved with love. Hallelujah. I'm doing my best, Lord Jesus. May I say to you that the love of Christ is the core of the gospel.
Amen.
If the gospel was like an apple, you cut away all the goody from the outside. Now I'm going to tell you what most people do. They want to throw away the best part. When I was a boy, I caught my brother one day and he's eating apple. He ate core and all. peach seeds and everything. I said, what are you doing? He said, that's the best part of the apple. Now look here, right in the middle, right in the center. For that's what that word mitz means. It means right smack dab in the center of that chariot was the love of God. It is the core of the gospel. Don't eat the goodies and throw away the core. That's what we want to do today, son. Everybody wants to eat the goodies. Praise God, I'm glad I ain't smoking a cigarette. I'm glad I ain't, my wife don't wear breeches. I'm glad you ain't too, buddy. But I'm going to tell you something right now, Brother Jerry. Don't forget how much he loved you. Oh, yeah. You couldn't have thrown them riches away, ma'am, if he wasn't remember his love. And, sir, you couldn't have got the ragweed out of your mouth. Or you couldn't have got the needle out of your arm. You couldn't have got the jug of wine or the liquor out of your head. Oh, you couldn't have got out of the bars and the whorehouses and the honky-tonk. You couldn't have got out of the basketball court. Oh, from the wildcat, bobcat, tomcat, put the cats all over the the cat, you couldn't have got away from him had it not been for the love of God. That's right. Love of Christ is the core of the gospel. Just like the sun rays stream forth from its substance. We enjoy the rays, but they come from the substance, which is the sun. Just like the sun rays stream forth from its substance, so doth justification, and this is mine, it ain't a book, justification, sanctification, and glorification come forth from the love of God. Every bit of it. Don't nobody leave me now. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The love of God is... Thank you, Jerome. Do you know what shed apart means? Where's some of these boys at? Where's these boys at? Come here, boys, and fill up every one of these cups. I mean, we ain't done preaching yet. Boy, we got a long way to go. You might as well get you one. I want them full, boys. I want them full. Oh, yeah, we're talking about the love of God. And the love of God is shed abroad. I preached one time on shedding it and spreading it. Yes, sir. He said it. We ought to spread it like peanut butter. Shed it. The love of God is shed abroad. Shed abroad. Bring me them cups, boys. Don't tear. We got to move. Hallelujah to God. Folks are getting hungry. The Indians are starting to get restless. They're tired of sitting on soft chairs and saving easy money or something. They'd rather go, all right, shed abroad. Shed abroad. That word shed abroad means presently gushing. Son, I'm telling you what, that the love of God is presently gushing from God. Son, it just keeps on running like Niagara Falls. There's not enough to shut it off. Oh, yes, ain't not a dam that can hold it. There's not an ocean that can contain it. The love of God just runs and runs and runs and runs. Love, oh love of God, how rich and pure. I wish I knew it. Ah, da, da, that tongue can tell. Tell me where it reaches, Reverend Hall. It reaches from the highest hill unto the lowest hill. Gracious! Gushing! Gushing! Gushing to you! Gushing to me! Gushing to your mammy! Gushing to your peppy! Gushing to a whoremonger! Gushing to a thief! Gushing to a criminal! Oh yes! Gushing to a murderer! Gushing to little boys and little girls! Old men and old women! Teenagers! Young folks and families! The love of God keeps on. Gushing. I'm tired. Praise God. If I die. Woo! And gushing. I'm going to tell you what what the God told me down at Brother Allen's. We're sitting in there, Brother Allen said, everybody take the Bible. Raise it up in the air and wave it. I was sitting there waving my Bible and my right arm got tired. So I changed to my left. My poor old neck muscle had got tired. So I changed her back to the right. Brother Allen said, hold them Bibles up. I said, Brother Allen, my arm's getting tired. And about that time, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost said, the Bible said, holding forth the Word of life. We're supposed to hold forth the Word of life. I said, Lord, but I'm getting weary. He said, that's the point I'm trying to make. He said, I like it. Listen well now. Holy Ghost said, you will grow weary holding forth my word, but my word will never grow weary while it holds you up. Ah, yeah, did you get a hold of that? Why we'll get weary holding it up, but it'll never grow weary holding us up, son. It is a sure foundation this morning. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. Y'all ready to go home? I hope not. I ain't done. I ain't even got to the message. We just on the second page and I got two more to go. Loose as a goose and the hammer down, sir. Now, I've already defined it, but defined midst exactly in the center. Amen. And so His love in the midst thereof, or in the midst thereof, paved with love. Amen. Right in the middle of that chariot is His love. It's paved with love. Means exactly in the center. Don't anybody miss this now. The word paved means embroidered. Amen. Or as if bright stones. Amen. The midst thereof is embroidered with bright stones. Now, that ain't where she ends right there. That word paved means a live coal. You know what a live coal is? You know what they did with to Isaiah when they took a live coal off the altar? It means that love is living, friend. And if it's a coal, it means she's a tad bit warm. Amen. You ever reached in the fire and brought out a live coal, an old hunk of coal on a shovel or something, cleaning out an old coal stove? That coal, buddy, just glows bright red. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Look here. That word paved means a lightning or a hot thunderbolt. Amen. Oh, yes! I'll never forget Angie when his love was like a hot thunderbolt, son, that came down and pierced my heart. Hallelujah to God. Well, and His hot love has set me on fire. Whoa, His hot love. His love is hot. His love is burning. And it ought to set you and I on fire. Now, I've got one more definition of that word paid. Now, I got all these out of Strong's. You can look them up. It means to... No, I got two more. It means to be set on fire. And the last definition of it means red hot. So what He's trying to tell us, folks, is that God's love has never gotten cold. It's red hot. He don't puff up at us. He don't act like a big bully. He doesn't ignore us. He doesn't desert us. Right. He shelters us. He provides for us. He cares for us. He maintains, sustains us. He gives us gifts. Amen. He kisses us with the kisses of His mouth.
Amen.
Woo! And they're sweeter than wine.
Amen.
That wine means intoxicating, by the way. Said His love will intoxicate you, buddy. You'll get drunker than a coot on the good love of God. Some of y'all just need to get drunk on His love. Now, I'm going to show you something about His love. I'm going to show you something in just a minute when I get there. If I forget it, somebody remind me. It's going to be on when I'm talking about Calvary.
Amen.
I'm not done preaching yet. I'm talking about a red hot love. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you see his red hot love? Now, don't leave me. And I'll try to get through this in 15 minutes, if God will let me. 20 minutes. Don't leave me. Where do I see his red hot love? I want to say, first of all, his love was red hot on Calvary.
Amen.
Son, do you think when he went to the cross that his heart was like a cube of ice? Do you think that his spirit was indifferent toward us? Then if it wasn't, pray God tell me why our heart is like a cube of ice toward him and our spirit is indifferent about him.
Amen.
If his love is red hot for us, why is not our love red hot for him?
Amen.
My throat's about to give out, but I'm going to drink all the water up and drink and preach till I die, I guess. Listen what Luke says. I'm about to run out of steam, but I'm going through this text one way or the other. Luke said, and you can follow me in your Bible, if you want to, in 23:33. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Would you not agree with me if one was on the right and the other was on the left that he had to be in the middle? There's his love right smack dab in the midst of Calvary. Now I want you to hang with me just for a minute. You know that word Calvary there? You know how many times it's used in the Bible? One time. Oh, something that important only used one time, Calvary. Calls it Golgotha one time. But Benny, the only time it calls it Calvary is right there in Luke. And it means a place of a skull. It means, but beyond that, it means a head. Now, I'm going to ask you something, my friend. Who's the head of all things but God? Son, I'm telling you, we saw the head of creation, the head of this universe, the sovereign God. The reason it's used one time, one in the Bible, is the number of God. And what Brother Luke is trying to tell us, that it was there. It wasn't just a normal man that died. It was God! God died for you there. And from the cross, radiates, streams out, pours forth, oh, the love of God from eons in the past to eons in the present. The cross is the center of God's love. Calvary is a place that is paved with love. And it's red hot. It took a red hot God full of love for your stinking soul and mine. My throat's about gone, sister. We need to get some lemons out your while shortly. I preach. I fell down and said, if you don't quit preaching like that, it's going to get you. Well, praise God, I may not have long for it to get.
Amen.
But I am going out, hammered down, full steam ahead, buddy.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Somebody said, I want to go home. I told you before it started you could leave.
Amen.
It's the Lord's day.
Amen.
That's right. It's the number of God. His love is in the midst between two thieves. His red hot love. We see His red hot love as He fought against sin. Hey, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sins, what Paul said in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 5, I believe. You know what He was doing on the cross? He was fighting sin. Now, I'm going to tell you what, son. It took a red hot love. And I'm going to tell you why some of you are overcome with it. I'm going to tell you why some of you can't get the stinking world out of your life and throw the television out of your house and get faithful to church and quit hobnobbing and playing the harlot.
Amen.
And get in the house of God. That's right. It's because you don't have that red hot love in your heart for Him like He had for you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? red hot love, buddy.
Amen.
Now, fighting against sin. I want to show you something. Does the Bible not say in Romans chapter number 5 that He was made to be sin for us?
Amen.
He fought against sin. He was fighting against sin, death, hell, and the grave on the cross of Calvary. But I'm telling you, my friend, He hanged there upon the cross. Listen now. And was made sin.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, sin whooped Him. Oh, no. No. Because Brother Steve, here's along about sundown that evening, they come and took Him down off the cross and put Him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. Laid Him down, wrapped Him in all those grave clothes and laid Him down in that tomb, laid a napkin over His face. And I'm going to tell you what He done. 3 days later.
Amen.
Don't leave me now. He was made to be sin.
Amen.
And your sin, my sin, the sin of the world.
Amen.
And I can take the Bible and go in a minute if I wanted to and prove it was the sin of the world, but I'm not going to. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. I'm going to tell you what He done when He got up, folks. He shook Himself of sin and death and hell. It kindled upon Him, but He shook it off and walked out of the grave pure.
Yes.
And guess what, my friend? The sin that He shook off was yours and mine. And guess, Brother Doug,
yes,
where is that today? Hallelujah to God. It's still in a bar tomb. Hallelujah to God. Fighting against sin. I want to say, my friend, that He had red-hot love in forgiveness of sin.
Amen. Thank God.
For I believe in the next verse there, Miss Sharon, it said they reviled Him. They derided Him. And He looked straight up into the Father's face and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Red-hot love. Prophesy. Tell us who it is. You. Tell us who it is. Tell us who it is. Go on. Tell us. You be the Son of God. Come down from there. I'm going to show you something here. I was talking about that wine. Son, that wine is a type of joy. And everybody, listen to me very carefully. But you know what them fellas done? They run them. What did they offer Him? Vinegar. And He spit it out. This is hallology, buddy, right here. But He spit out the vinegar. You know what vinegar is? Vinegar there is ferment. It's fermented from apples, beer, and other things. And it means acid. It's an acetuous. It's acid. It's fermented. Son, it wasn't real wine. Was it the fruit of the vine? It was sour wine. Sour wine. Somebody said, preacher, what does that mean? Buddy, here's what God gave me in a holy place. Brother Steve, when he was hanging on that cross, oh my God, he was the pure, undefiled, holy, without spot and without blemish, Son of the living God. He knew no sin, Son. He didn't have a spot or a blemish in His flesh, nor in His soul, in His spirit. He was without sin. I'm going to tell you what that bunch of hypocrites was doing. They was trying to defile! They was trying to defile our sacrifice! Oh, and I'm telling you, if he had drunk that wine, he would not have been pure. He'd have been defiled, and we had yet been in our sins. But He spit her out, Son. He spit out the juice and drank the dregs of the sins of the world. Walked into a grave and shook it off! Benny, I think in verse 45 of that scripture, and it said, in the sixth to the ninth hour was darkness over the face of the earth, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. What love. Love when He was fighting. Red hot love when He was fighting against sin. Red hot love when he was forgiven sin. Red hot love, son. When the veil of the temple was rent in twain. A fountain. Oh, Brother Joel. A fountain. Hallelujah to God. Woo! A fountain was opened for sinners to find their way to God. Red hot love. And by the way, Benny, would you turn over there and read that verse 45 in Luke 23 and tell me where that thing was rent in twain? Tell me something about it.
In the midst.
Rent a twain in the midst?
Amen.
You mean in the midst of the veil? We once again find the love of God?
Yes.
Oh, I'm about ready to get my second breath. Hallelujah to God, son. Oh, can you get a hold of that, buddy? Yes, sir. Look, Karen, if you read Hebrews, you'll find that that signified the way to God. Through the veil, that is to say, thin His flesh. Son, I'm telling you, red hot lead when He opened the fountain and made a way. For sinners to get to God. Hallelujah. If I can walk when I get done, I'll be lucky. Hallelujah. I want to say secondly, not only the love of Calvary, but the love of consolation. I said the love of consolation.
Amen.
It's red hot. I'm not done preaching. If you need to go, go. If you need a shot of insulin, just stick yourself out here in the belly or something. It'll be all right. Bring a cookie with you. Bless God, a sandwich. Just eat you a cookie. I don't give a flip. As long as you listen to the preaching of the Word of God and God gives me enough energy to preach it, hallelujah. We'll eat cookies and pass it around. Let everybody have a nibble. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't need your cookie. Jesus done give me one this morning. Hallelujah to God. I done got my sugar cookie. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I got into the pack in that upper room this morning over there.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Now, you need to hear this. The love of consolation. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, not somebody else, Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us.
Amen.
What with, Brother Hall? An everlasting consolation. Through good hope, consolation and good hope, through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen.
I believe He said that was an everlasting consolation.
Amen.
Son, can I? Hey, how long is everlasting? That's a long time, ain't it? Now get a hold of this. The Greek word for everlasting is not parakletos, but it is parakleo, which means about the same thing as a parakletos or the paraclete, which is the Holy Ghost. And it means to call near. That is to say, Brother Mark, that God in His consolation, His everlasting consolation, what red hot. He loves you so much, son, He just drawed near to you.
Hey,
though I walk in the midst of trouble, what does that mean? Somebody remember what I preached Tuesday night. The word trouble means rival wife, to be next to. When trouble is right there next to you, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. That's why He's a present help in trouble, because Jesus is right there saying,
"Amen."
You get a hold of that. If some of you, I hope Brother Rick and Kelly's listening. I want him to hear this. I'm serious. I sympathize with them, buddy. I sympathize with them. I wanted to preach this to them this morning.
Amen.
But do you know what that word means? And this comes right out of a dictionary. It means comfort. It means alleviation of misery. Misery or distress of mind. You mean to tell me that God will console my mind and relieve me of misery of mind? It means refreshment of mind and spirits. You mean to tell me God in His will console me and refresh my mind and my... Oh, yeah, and I'm not done preaching yet either, by the way. It says a comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune. What He's telling me is that even in the midst of distress and misfortune, there will be some degree of happiness in your life.
Amen.
Who's saying that? Miss Sharon? Say it again, Miss Sharon. Yes, sir. There will be some degree of happiness even in the midst of distress. Because He is alongside, friend, with an everlasting consolation. Comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune springing from any circumstance that abates evil, causes evil to withdraw from you. You know, like going to church, that helps. Reading your Bible, that helps. Praying, that helps. Singing, that helps. Fellowshipping with God's people, that helps. Or supports and strengthens the mind as hope, joy, courage, or the like. In other words, consolation, my friend, will support and rejoice your mind with hope and joy and courage in times of distress. Now I don't have time to preach all these, but in 2 Thessalonians, therefore, we're reading, if you go into the verse 13, he said, therefore, brethren. Like many said in Sunday school, every time you see a therefore, look and see what's therefore. Huh?
Amen.
That consolation, that therefore, points back to some springs, that consolation, some things that our comfort and consolation springs from. Now, you won't get mad at me, will you? I hope you don't get mad at me. Verse 13 says, we are bound to give thanks always to God. Always, not always. Always, meaning all the time. Always. Always means in every little situation of life. Oh, but not always. All. And it may be interrupted, but always can never be interrupted. Lo, I'm with thee always. You ain't left me, have you? We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen. What a spring of consolation! God has chosen you! I didn't write that, bless your heart, the Holy Ghost did. Now what a hey, son, that's what a consolation. That when we need comfort, we go back and we're reminded that we didn't choose God. God chose us through sanctification of the Spirit and belief unto the truth. Sovereignty of God, responsibility of man. Yes, it's that way. And so one of those springs is the fact that God has called us. Chosen us. Then the second one in verse 14, whereunto He called you. Whereunto what He called you? Through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief unto the truth, He called you. What a Mark! Robert! Stephen! And if you look there in that verse, what did He call you through? Called you by the gospel! May God help us to preach the gospel. Oh yes, God calls sinners by the preaching of the gospel. So what a consolation, Sharon. He chose you and He called you. You got your book open to that verse. Who has? You got yours on, Mary? I want you to read it, huh? Read the rest of verse 14 there in chapter 2. Whoa, get in this microphone. Right here, Angie. Get in it, huh? Called you to what?
By our gospel to the obtaining of the glory.
Amen.
To the obtaining of glory?
Amen.
What a consolation.
Amen.
We've not only been chosen,
Amen.
We've not only been called, but we have been crowned. Oh, yes, crowned, my friend.
Crowned.
What better can we have it? We're chosen, called, and crowned. That's God. We are called. We are called, justified, and glorified. We're heaven-bound with a hammer down, riding in a chair that is filled up with the red-hot love of God.
Amen.
Now hear me well. Number one, He'll console us when we're frustrated. Now, if you think life ain't frustrating today, buddy. I told somebody the other day. Somebody said, what's wrong in the church? I said, I don't know. I've never been so frustrated in my 20 years of preaching. I don't know. And I'm being honest before God, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm still getting that upper room, buddy, and she's precious. God's still letting me preach. You may not like it preaching long, but He's letting me preach. Now, it's frustrating. Oh, yes, and I'm telling you, some of you've got frustration. I thought about Ricky and Kelly. It's bound to be frustrating to them. Got a little baby laying over there. They can't even go. Told me on the phone, broken up, Kelly was last night a crying. Said, I just tried to hold her for just a little while. Said, the nurses know more about my baby than I know about my baby. And said, she's my little baby and I can't hold her. I can't feed her. I can't hardly touch her. Said, I just held her for a little while and she went into bronchial spasm and said, don't even seem like my own little baby. And I said, she's there. We're here. Oh, you talking about being frustrated? Right. Oh, that's bound to be frustrating. God, you give me a baby. Why can't I hold my baby? Why can't I feed my baby? Why can't I love my baby over there? Why can't I bring my baby home? Are you listening to me? Why is my baby sick? Why has my baby got an enlarged heart? What's the problem with my baby? But I'm telling you, God will console us when we're frustrated. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else, friend. God will console us when we fail Him. Amen. You better... Peter failed and Jesus looked at him with those wonderful eyes of convicting power and consoled his heart and he went out and wept bitterly and got right with God. John on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus drew near on that day when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and Jesus comforted and consoled him there on the Isle of Patmos. I'm here to tell you, my friend, hey, that's right, even when you fail, oh, if when we fail, if we just realize how much God loves us, oh, and in our frustrations and our failings, God still will console us with an everlasting conversation. I want to say that God will console you not only when you're frustrated and failing, but when you fall.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He said in Psalm, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
Huh? So what He said? Listen to the rest of it, though. We can say amen to that. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him.
Amen.
Somebody said, how can he do that? Are you saved?
Amen.
Then it's an everlasting consolation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to say thirdly, and I'm closing. Red hot love of constraint.
Amen.
You know what Paul said? In 2 Thessalonians 5:14, he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Right in the midst, buddy. You know what constrain means? It don't mean to hold back. The first time I thought that, the love of Christ holds me back. Like, oh, no, no. The love of Christ motivates me, pushes me forward, gouges me and prods me onward. The love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. His red hot love constrains us, folks. Now I'm going to tell you what. Is the Bible true? Then if His red hot love constrains us, and it says constrains us that we ought to live for Him. What is the problem? Bible's true. Why are we cold? Why are we lukewarm? Don't blame Him. Not His fault. Now I'm telling you, His love will constrain you to live for Him.
Amen.
Don't tell me how much you love God. You can't get faithful to church. Faithful with your money to the church.
Amen.
Faithful with your life to Christ. If you can't say, and by the way, faithful living for Him.
Amen.
And we ought to be, hey, And His love not only constrains us to live for Him, but His love constrains us to live right. I believe verse 17 there says we're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. You mean to tell me that it's God's love that constrains me to live right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you, I like what Brother Ronnie Simpson said down at the Sammy's the other night. The fellow got up and made a living fool out of himself on Friday afternoon and talked about how preachers ought not to preach against the TV. It don't do nothing for nobody. And old Brother Ronnie Simpson got up that night and turned around like that and pointed at that man and said, I've been mad ever since this afternoon. Get up and try to pet sin and make a and pet Hollywood and all that filth and corruption out of Hollywood and expect somebody to get up and shout over it. Son, I'm telling you, I ain't a petting sin.
Amen.
And I'm not a petting you on the head for living in sin.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you when you're wrong, buddy.
Amen.
When you're, that is absolutely right. That love constrains us to live right. This is the last point. We're going to the house. Somebody said, good. On down in that, he said that all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself for Jesus Christ and hath given us a ministry of reconciliation. To wit that God was in Christ. Here's what I wanted to bring out a while ago. Reconciling the world, cosmos, mankind, all mankind, unto Himself. That don't sound like a hyper-Calvinistic verse of Scripture to me.
Amen.
God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself.
Amen.
Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying His red-hot love toward us constrains us that we are to live for Christ, that we ought to live right, and that we ought to love sinners. And if we're not loving sinners or living right or living for Him right, then we've got a problem, folks. All of us. I'm not excluding me. I'm talking about all of us. Anybody. Because right in the midst of our salvation is His love, red hot, and His love is pushing us. And when we sit down, we got a problem, sissy. We got a problem. You better get back over, girl. I'll kiss you. How can we not love Him, folks? He loved you and He loved me. I'm praying that He will open a door that we can communicate the gospel. Wouldn't you like to see somebody walk these aisles and get saved? You like to see some of your family members? I want to encourage you to go visit them. Go witness to them. Tell them about God. Tell somebody about Jesus. Let's pray. Get men's prayer meetings going. Get women to pray at home on Sunday night. Women, while we're praying here on Sunday night, how many of you tonight, at 5 minutes after seven, you women, 5 minutes after seven, you'll be somewhere praying for at least 10 or 15 minutes while us men are praying. How many of you women will do that? Women do that. Now, don't renege on that. If you say you're going to do it 5 minutes after 7, find you a place and be a prayer. We're going to be here praying.
Amen.
Trying to get my heart where I can love folk right, love Jesus right.
Amen.
Get my heart, I said. Red hot love. Right out of the chariot of redemption. Right out of the middle of it. Stream. All the love of our God. Let's stand, please. Thank You for these few minutes this morning we've had to spend together. I thank You for the liberty and the grace and the Spirit You poured into my soul this morning. enabling me to preach the Word of God. Now I pray that you'll help me and help this church, help our folk. Wherever we're at in this calamity of life, I pray that you'll lead us out of the shadows into the light. Our Lord, that you'll roll the dark clouds away that hover about us. And Father, that you'll help us today to understand the great love of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, dying for me, rising again. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that you're coming back after me. Please help me to love you. My heart is so cold and so indifferent, so lukewarm. Please set me on fire for thee as thou art for me. Help me to love you. As I ride safely along in the chariot of grace, help me to realize, Lord, that there's nothing that can harm me here, and that I'm making a journey to the palace, and there's not a principality, nor a power, nor an angel, nor a being in heaven or earth or beneath the earth that can stop me from arriving at your presence and the destination that you've foreordained. Do bless our church. Help us to see our loved ones saved. I pray for Ricky and Kelly. Little Hannah, God, you'd touch her little body. Touch her heart. Reduce its size. Take the fluid from the lungs. Help her to breathe. Help her little back, her little spine. I pray for Cater's daughter and her family. I don't know the boy, to my knowledge. But I know her, and I pray for her, her mother, other members of the family during this terrible calamity in their life. Calamities come. Calamities go. God, we're so needy. Please help us. And not us only, Lord, but others around us that are dear to our hearts. Make us love sinners and thee, one another. I want to see some old sinner walk the aisles of this church, yet born again. Please bury the past and revive the future. Make the present glorious. Move our hearts for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. What is that, Brother George? 295. Let's sing this morning, this afternoon. Oh, yes. Sing it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How sweet it is, Lord, to hear that sound. Sing it, church. Yes, Lord Jesus. Would you sing one more verse, Brother George, of that, please? Sing it, church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. What about a child of God? Is he knocking on your heart today? As a child of God, is he knocking on your door? What about it, sinner? What about it, sinner? Yes, Lord. Verses in that song. Sing them. You know how beautiful that sounds this morning? Sing it, church. I appreciate you singing that and being here. Lord bless you.